Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
We've gone at 7:35 Central African time, at the time of the morning where we'll be joining Councillor Ahmed Parak on his segment, A Straight Talk with Ahmed. Ahmed, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, I think it's a fine Sunday morning.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alayna salam to all our radio listeners this morning. Alhamdulillah, let's just start with another fine, beautiful, sunny Sunday Shabbat.
Yeah, it's a sunny Sunday. Alhamdulillah, you're going to have a busy day indeed. But kicking off with Cuff and Duffin, what's the latest on that front, Ahmed?
As far as the Duffin company is concerned, it's very, very quiet at the moment. Everything under control, alhamdulillah. There's no major issues or anything. We're now preparing for the silly season. We're meeting with Metro Police and all the law enforcement, how we will be able to sort out in case if there's any emergencies in terms of post-mortem, sea rescue. This is the time where we normally always get sea rescue issues. And in some cases, our hands are tied because of they don't have enough manpower, especially on the sea rescue side. And I believe last year we also had a similar problem. So we're looking at that, that especially with the South African police steps. So that, as well as Metro Police, we're going to be meeting them shortly. I want to engage Salim Kazi to join me for that meeting, where we'll be calling up that meeting to get a strategize exactly when the silly season is here for the after hours. What can we do? How can we do public holidays? Well, how can we get our postmortems done quick as possible?
You know, you talk about the NSRI, Ahmed. How do they get funded? Is the government giving them a subsidy? Do they go after donations and so forth?
Sorry, I didn't follow that question, Shafat.
Are we talking about the NSRI? How do they get funded? Do they get stipend from the government, or do they go out for donations?
They get a grant, and there's public funding as well. They get donations. So that's how they normally do it.
And the Durban one, there's only one station, I believe. Do they have throughout the country at different bases, or are they based at the harbors, the NSRI, Ahmed?
That's the similar, same way, but mainly funding comes from government, and the top up they always have with the public funding and sponsorship and all that. But in things like that, you know, the community at large, you know, the big corporate companies like the Pick and Pay, Checkers and Woolworths and all the major corporate company normally sponsor them for the uniforms, sponsor them for groceries, hampers and all that, just to sustain the thing. Because the biggest cost that we normally face with is the fuel cost. That is very, very, very expensive. You're looking at anything in the region of about 100,000-120,000 and only a fuel cost, because they're crisscrossing the whole province. These are specialized guys that have gone into deep sea as well as into the rivers and all that. I'll give you one scenario. We had a very good friend of mine, he's a lawyer at Hazelmere Dam. He was doing windsurfing. And what happened, the wind picked up at about 4 o'clock. And his whole windsurfing picked up. And when it hit, it went right down and it hit the rock. And apparently, we tried looking. We brought the sea and rescue search. We did everything that night, right till about 11. We put floodlights. We did everything. We couldn't come right. We looked and looked, nothing. We started after Fajr Namaz the following morning, nothing. Then the captain told me, Ahmed, there's only one thing we have to do, but we have a major problem. I can't get it. That dog is in Ladysmith. There's a dam there. There's a problem there. There's a child that fell in yesterday. They also need that dog to go and see if we can assist there. So I made arrangement with the Commissioner of Police. I said, this is what we need urgently. Even if you don't have vehicle, we are prepared to send a vehicle down and bring that dog with the manpower through Hazelmere Dam to assist. Shafat, they came at about just after Zohar. It didn't even take them half an hour. They put it in the rubber duck, two officers with the dog. The dog just put his head down, and it went straight, and it only barked once. And the guys dived in, and they brought the body up. That is the kudrat of a dog that can smell where the human being is. That was maybe about, you can say, about 100 or 200 yards from where the on the shore we are. So it went right in there, and it pinpointed where that body was. We brought it in. Obviously, because of you have, even in dams, you still have salt content. So the body was starting to smell a little bit. So we quickly did the paperwork and sent it to the morgue for the post-mortem, and did that another late evening. So then I asked the police captain, and he's a very close friend of mine, Jack. He's the head of the unit. He said, Ahmed, what you saw is nothing. I take you to deep sea. When one of the crew members fell off the ship, and we went with the same dog, but there we can't take rubber duck because of the swells and everything. We had to take a proper boat, and we go deep. You're going deep, deep down, and we're bringing the body up as well. See Allah's kudrat again, Shafat. What I've just said is how Allah made a dog to smell the human being, and we'll be able to do it, Shafat.
Yeah, brilliant information indeed, Ahmed. That's why we have you on Straight Talk, and Allah bless you for that. I mean, how long does it take a body when it's drowned to completely decompose in water, Ahmed?
On salt contents, it can take you in about less than a day. You start, as soon as the body stays more than 4 or 5 hours in the water, immediately the smell comes out of the body and all, because obviously for fuel and everything what you have in the body. So it then after that you start decomposing very, very fast. But if you're in high seas and all, especially in high sea, and you're going to where you got the salt is very, very gay, decompose very, very quickly.
Then sometimes you get bodies that are not recovered. So are they eaten by a big fish or something like that, Ahmed?
That's, if you can't find, obviously, then, the procedure is to make the janaza namaz and it's done. But then you cannot find it, then obviously the fishes and all have Christmas came early for them. That's what happens, you can say.
Looking at this message, it says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Tariq. I'm a bit worried. I had my son doing his matric this year, and I want to know from you, what is a matric certificate really worth? Imagine, what we're going through, the frustration that, because I believe even those that are graduated from university are not getting jobs. Ahmed, please comment. That's a grave concern from a parent there, Ahmed.
Shafat, the best for that child is finishing his matric. There's a lot of our institution are giving bursaries at the moment. Go and study. Go and spend another 2 to 3 years. Go and study. Get a degree. Then obviously the market is much open, because after the election next year, the market is going to open drastically in this country. There will be a complete change. Obviously, the biggest problem in the country at the moment is with the infrastructure and all that. That will take us about 3 to 4 years to get the infrastructure right. By the time this child has finished his studies, he is already geared up. There's going to be so much of opening in the marketplace, not only in the country, abroad as well. They're looking for our teachers. They're looking for our accountants. They're looking for mainly South African. Anywhere you're in the world you go, they say we are South African, are hardworking people. And especially the Indian community, Muslim community are very, very clever, and they're getting jobs all over the world. Now, even in the Middle Eastern country, in fact, I was speaking to somebody yesterday. They said, they wanted my daughter in Qatar for teaching. So, there's a big market in the Middle East as well. So the market is opening, and especially in the country, in South Africa, is going to open. Yes, the brother will ask, there's so many blacks also in line, but they will be, they have to work the pro-ratali, and they will be opening for especially Indian community as well, because that pro-rata business way is going to be changed as well.
Yunus says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad Parak. Look at the job reservation at the Itikreni. It's mostly for blacks. Why, you know, Indians and coloreds and whites getting the jobs? They are perhaps more competent than the masses that are coming through. Their records speak for themselves. That's a powerful question, Ahmad.
Shabbat, at the moment, if you get 48, almost 48% of the country is unemployed, it is virtually impossible to now get jobs at the moment. The things are really, nobody wants to invest at the moment because they're all in a shoelace at the moment. They're thinking, no, hold on. We're not sure what's going to happen next year because they have already seen what happened about the looting last year. They, you know, because the notion is in the marketplace at the moment, ANC is not going to get his 50% plus. So that is a big factor. And that is the reason why the AFF and the ANC have went into bed. They, Ramaphosa went recently to China and Russia. He brought in $50 million just for his campaign for the 2024 election. So, you know, they will get the money because end of the day, they're going to promise international presidents and international countries, come here, we will go, once we in power, we're going to give you A, B, C. Who's not going to give you money? If I tell you, Shafar Ahmed Khan, come away to Joe Block radio station, I'm going to give you your own offices, the state-of-the-art equipment and everything. There's a contract for you. Who's not going to do it? And the money is there. Today, everybody is looking at money and rent and sense. They're not thinking the bigger picture. What we're doing is we are fighting for the community. We're protecting the deen of Islam and for the community what we do.
This message says, Ahmad, with the severe thunderstorms coming and heavy rains that we're having, it seems as if the weather pattern has changed drastically. What happens if we get a heavy storm during December and Allah forbid floodings? Is the disaster management ready to tackle this issue, Ahmad?
Shabbat, you know, they have in the council and the government has now realized in the last 2 years, they have been taught a lesson from 27, what happened last year, what happened, all the containers, big 40 feet, 20 feet containers were floating all over the shore in Prospect and in Spingo. They have learned a lesson. But to learn a lesson at the same time, you need to put an infrastructure, which we have done. But the problem we might come short is that we don't have enough funding to man that disaster management. That is the problem we're going to face with. And they'll have to somehow make a plan now, because our budget comes from 1st of July till the end of June 2024. We don't have enough budget entities. We have got a shortfall of about 12 billion in the city. So technically speaking, we are insolvent, but because because we got some investment of 9 billion, and so we are about 3 billion. So I think they are just about sustaining themselves and making sure they're getting enough revenue just to keep themselves ticking till the 30th, the 1st of July next year. And that's what they are doing at the moment. The national government is short of billions of rand to fulfill the obligation for 2023-24 season. So, you know, there's a problem in the country. We got the resources. We have got diamond, gold, coal, you name it. We got shale gas. We have got everything. But because of it not being run properly and it hasn't put the act together. In fact, if you put somebody who can run the country properly, they don't loot the coffers of the country. Today we should have been smiling because we got everything. We were number one in Africa. Today we're not even number five in Africa.
Yeah, imagine that the ratings have fallen so drastically. This message from Tyre, he says, Ahmad Parak, Jazakallah for a lovely show. Truck drivers arrested for allegedly selling Eskom heavy fuel oil worth 500,000 for 40,000. This is ridiculous. This seems as if the mafias have captured this country, right from the government to all the utilities. When will this ever come right? I don't know, Ahmed. You say vote this party and that party. It seems all parties are hell-bent on making money and filling the pockets. How do you respond to Tayyar there, Ahmed?
Shafat, at the moment, this country is like on a mafia state, because you got Eskom is like a mafia state. The taxi industry, they don't pay any taxes. It's run by the mafia state. Then you got mafias that you can't put up a building up before they come and first. You got to go and sign up with them because they want to make sure that you got the South African, you got no foreign workers there, and you got to pay them for putting up a building. You paying taxes, you paying for your rates and tax and everything else, but you still, this is where we're starting to eliminate the issue, and that's where Ramaphosa has now taken a step before the 2024 election to say, you know, all this thing must stop. That's why he's given instruction to Bekengele to say, you know what, all this thing must be stopped, because people want to invest. They need to put up houses. They need to put up all these infrastructure here. You're holding us back. This mafia state must come to an end. And that's where they're working towards. So it's going to take them time. But the problem is again, if your foundation is not strong, your house is definitely, you're going to have cracks after you have put up the building. So that is where our problem, because these guys and in government, they're there for 3 or 4 terms. That is like one term is 5 years, one term is 5 years, and then they're there for 3 terms, that's 15 years. And they only know government work, and they don't know nothing else. And they got their own pals in their own, all the main position. So they're running this whole syndicate. Now this syndicate is coming to an end. That's where we're looking forward for the 2024 election. And this all will have to stop, because enough is enough. And we are saying, you cannot run a country like the way we are running it. We can't get water. We can't get electricity. We got potholes. And in fact, if we're not reading in between the lines. The water is going to be a big problem in the country if we're not going to fix it up. Going down the line, by 2026, you'll be rationed with water, and you cannot afford that. You'll find a lot of our people now are going on to borehole. Now, if everyone tap into borehole, what's going to happen? There will be no borehole water as well. So these are the issues that we are taking them head on now.
Yeah, mother, get the Jojo tanks, people. Mine is full all the time. Use. I still have many. Looking at a message from Shokat, he says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Parak. The multi-party charter or the coalition movements in all the municipalities is showing that this country is run by more by a coalition than the ANC. It seems the ANC without the coalition is nothing. Ahmed, how do you respond to Shokat there?
Shokat is right in on the one hand, but if the ANC is not going to get, and we know if it's going to get under the 50% threshold, then they're in trouble. Even if they take on their brother EFF and we get a powerful coalition, the coalition will start making things work. And that is the biggest fear. That is the reason why Ramaphosa is going country to country, and now he was in Qatar to promise, I don't know, Qatar what, to bring in money to fund his power, for fund the ANC. That is the biggest fear, because the people are not interested in that hamper anymore. They're interested the children are getting educated. They don't have work, jobs. Like the brother said earlier, my son is going to be finishing matric. I don't know what to do. I don't have a clue, because there is no job opportunities there. They are asking the same question like our brother just asked that question. And then yesterday I was voter registration. And I had a lady from DUT, and she's a lecturer there. And she said, I said, you are a lecturer. Why you had to come and sit from 7 in the morning to 5? She said, you know what? By coming today, I earned myself 500 rands. Now, she's a lecturer. She came for 500 rands, Shafat. So you must know how things... So I asked her, you know, 500 rand one day. She says, I've got three daughters. All are in university. How you want me to make ends meet? So this is the problem. Everyone is studying. When they come out, where are they going to go? So that is why we think start opening. The international company corporations are coming here, left, right, and center, because they know the chips are down now. And they're investing millions and billions of rand in this country. They're waiting. They bring the money, and they put it, and they wait. They want to see when the things get better. They see how the government is working. They'll start opening up, opening up, opening up, and they've got a foothold in the thing. We... The problem with our community is, Shafat, we take two eider down and sleep. We don't take one eider down and sleep. But the Jew boys and the Jewish community, they are 10 steps ahead of us. I'll give you one other scenario. In Belito, we will say, you know what, if you go to our people and say, you know what, this is sugarcane farm, this is sugarcane farm here, overlooking the beach, he will see the sea, but he won't see the potential. If I take the sugar cane out here, and if I put a housing complex here, what value? Those guys saw it 10 years ago, and the same land today is selling just a building plot, 1,200 square meters, 6 million rand, just a building. Without the building, Shafar, now you want to put a building for about another 3, 4 million, 4, 5 million, how much, 11 million rand, but it will be overlooking the sea. But they've already done. And what they did first, they put a school there. And then they came to me, they said, Mr. Farooq, you know, you quite influenced in the community. There's a plot here, we're giving you a building plot here, 1,500 square meters. Put up your mosque, we give you this land free of charge. You know it's worth about 6-7 million, it's free of charge. Put up the mosque here, then you know your community is set. See how they're thinking, Shafat. See where we are and where they are. The problem is, when we tell our community there's an opportunity here. Think ahead, but no, we got blinkers. We take, as I said, two either down and we sleep. Don't sleep. People are moving 2, 3, 10 steps ahead of us. We need when take Musgrave. When Musgrave was there, only whites were there. And Shafat, you know that, I know that. Spingo Beach, when you came, I don't know when you came. I came in 1970. Whites were living there when we came from Bluff to Brighton Beach. To Spingo Beach, whites were living there, and how beautiful Spingo Beach was, because white was running it, it was clean, everything was fine. Then our Muslim community got into the Indian community, came in there. They also went into the, now the whites were moving out of Musgrave, they're going more to Hillcrest and to North, the Belito, Amslanga, that way. We started taking all the Musgrave homes. Now, where they, what's going to happen? They're all moving away from Musgrave. They're going also in the north. So we are followers. We're not front runners. We run from the back. When you finish, we take it over. You shouldn't be that way. We're supposed to be the founders. We are, you know, we know the know-how. Allah has blessed our community with us. Millions of rand. Some of them are billionaires in our community. They know what is happening in the marketplace, but they're not prepared to take the steps forward and to say, there's it, yeah, this is it, what must happen. We put the mosque first, and then things will happen around us.
Well, Amrita, you're making a lot of sense there, and you talk about perhaps, you know, a few of you, the brothers that are listening this morning will tell you, but, you know, when we have taken over areas, as you said, Springer Beach was a white area. I know my grandmother and them came in from 64. Yeah, they were here in... it's a Pingo Beach, but it was a beautiful, lovely, you know, greenery. The gum trees were there, and we had the entire facilities. But perhaps the complaint is, I mean, Indians get into areas that are opened up to them. They cut down all the jungle, they cut down the bush, and they cut down all the greenery, and they only put in concrete jungle. How you respond to that, Ahmed?
Shafat, you know, I'm putting up, you know, consulting in one hall here in Musgrave, and I gave a coffee shop to one of the guys that he wants to put a coffee shop next to the Masjid too. And I was with 2-3 white yesterday at next to the mosque where the coffee shop is doing. And the guy started pouring concrete. They took the lawn out where it had trees and all, nice, lovely trees and all that. They took that out. So I asked him, what are you going to do there? Because end of the day, he's going to be leasing that area. He says, we're going to concrete this thing and we're making a for the children to play, a play park sort of thing. So I said, and then what you want to put onto the concrete? He said, well, I want to put AstroTurf. I said, I can't understand you. By end of the day, you had the sand cushion is better than concrete cushion. Now the children want to jump. It's going to be hard. Now, how are you going to, you'll have to now put foam underneath to cushion, because small children are going to play here. You should have left the sand, put in some Amgeni sand or something, and you should have put it properly and put your AstroTurf on top. You should have been up and running by now, and it should have been cheaper too and better too. The children shouldn't have been getting hurt. They say, no, we wanted to do it that way. I said, you know what? And then that woman, that white couple is telling me, you know what? You just gave them sensible advice, but they still don't take the advice. They're still pouring the concrete. This is what should have been done, because there was trees and all that. The children should have enjoyed it. And the sand, if you put Amgeni sand and you put your AstroTurf, they should have a cushion on it. It should be cheap, easier, better for them. But, you know, sometimes you can't do everything. So this is what happened, Shabbat.
Yeah, mashallah, a lot of messages coming in for you this morning. And this one is from Umar. Umar says, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shafaz Ahmad Khan and Ahmad Tarak. A great chat indeed. I'm a big fan of Straight Talk. Jazakallah khair for that. He says, Minister of Police, Beki Ele, said there was a decrease in the country's murder figures for a second consecutive quarter. And he says that during this period, 6,945 murders were reported and 13,090 people were sexually assaulted. Mr. Beki Chele should know that one murder is too many, and he's boasting about a few percentage drop. Most of the murders are not reported. Most of the crimes are not reported. Please, Ahmed, go and tell Beki Chele to go get a wake up. I respond to Umar there. Ahmed?
Shabbat, Umar is 100% right. And then Umar also need to know that the second highest murder rate in the country is KZN and after Gauteng. And the problem is also in KZN, Amlazi has got the highest rate in our city. So Beki Kera, this is the question I have posed. In fact, when we sent up a email to him, he says, your stats, you are only giving sugarcoating a stat. It's like what Umar said, that, you know, how many cases have not been reported and everything else. So we are saying the same thing, what Umar is, the same sentiment we're saying here. We're saying to him, you know what, you're giving us a stat and you're still boasting that the murder rate has come down to 6,000. That even 6,000, three murders are too much in a country. Why is he, what has he been doing? And furthermore, they got another 200,000 people staff that they want. How can you get staff when you're getting oversized police officers want to be in the police force? They can't even open mm-hmm. the car door to sit. They will take 5 minutes to sit in his vehicle. So we are saying, there, what kind of a training institute the police services has got? Who's doing the proper due diligence in terms of age, the fitness, all that? How previously in the old government, they used to take everything into account. Over the years, then you put up weight, okay, it's fine. But that too, they used to keep you in some condition. But nothing is happening now, and he wants more staff. Where are you going to deploy this staff? Where in the hotspots we are telling him to deploy, especially in KZN, he's not doing anything about it. So we are going full on at the moment. We're saying, you before 2024, step down, bring somebody who knows how to run the police force.
Yeah, Ahmad, I'm looking at the message from Ahmad. He says, great chat here. I'm enjoying the show. He says, Ahmad, political analysts are calling on young voters to register in the numbers and inspire the emergence of a new political direction. A leading political analyst, Ahmad, yesterday said, apathy from voters in the next year's polls will be a missed opportunity to jettison the old generation of politicians who should be replaced by an inspiring young leadership with fresh ideas. What are your views, Ahmad?
Shafat, I agree with that brother who posed that question, and the analysis is 100% right, because if you look at all the universities and all the colleges and all that, and yesterday when I was there in the polling station, I wanted to get a feel of you know, I was there from after the radio station from 9 o'clock right up to 5 o'clock in the afternoon, because that's the time they close. I wanted to see who is coming to register, what is the age bracket, how many females are coming, how many non-registered people are coming to register, how many has come to just find out if I'm on the voter roll. So that gives me an indication. Now I'm saying to myself, okay, fine. Yeah, we got from the 18 to 24, 25 bracket, there's so many of them came. So we did an analysis only on one day. So that speaks volume, because there's an apathy that they want to bring in fresh blood, more younger politician in the space. But the problem is those youngsters who want to come, or the guys that in universities and colleges and all, they want to join the political party and they want to go into government. They need to start getting themselves groomed up how government works. It's no use taking young blood there and they don't know what they're doing. That is the problem. You need guys like you know, all right, I'm in my almost coming to my 60s now, and it'll tell you that you need guys like us to guide the younger. And that's why we have got a political school. So even for now, I can't get into province or national government. If I had to write a test, my first test I passed. Now I got another one, very stringent test. For 2 hours, I have to sit and write that. And if I pass that, then the third step is going to be they want to do a due diligence on me on a one-to-one base. They will sit with me. They will ask questions. What do you think about that? What's that? What A, B, C? How? What difference is going to make by you getting into national government or in the province here? What you will be able to give to the community in large, in terms of housing, electricity, potholes, all sanitation, everything they want to be asking. And if you have to pass another third test, then only they will then go into a committee. That committee will decide in terms of all your three exams you wrote, and the last one was a physical exam. You have come in with your 95 or 90%, then only you'll be considered to go into to parliament, or you'll be into MPL. Now, in my case, okay, fine. Some people you get, you know, like I said, you get standard 8 and you get standard 14. People when standard 14 can't do what I did, I've only got a JC certificate, standard 8. So this is what happens. Sometimes people are geared up. They are leaders, natural leaders you get. And I'm not boasting I'm a natural leader or anything, but Shafat, with the help of Allah, what I did in 2 years in council, people are there for 15 years, 3 terms. They haven't done that. I have already delivered in 2 terms, that is. Not even 2 terms, in 2 years. Not even, I haven't finished my 1 term yet, but I've already started delivering to the community the whatever is there in government. And I had a meeting on Wednesday, Shafat, you listen to this. People have got properties, they're selling their property. For the last 8 months, they are waiting for a rate clearance. Now, if you in dire strait, you are a widow, now you're selling your property, you're saying, you know, I'm a single mom now, I don't have no income, I don't have no sons or anything, and I'd rather sell my property and get myself, I go and rent a flat because I'm in the 70s or 80s, I'd rather go and rent an apartment, and that's it. I don't have the headache of rates, I don't have the headache of looking after the block of flat or whatever, everything. Now, 8 months, that poor lady hasn't got any income. Whatever the husband left for her, it was very, very little. The only thing, the biggest asset the husband left for her was the house. Now she wants to sell the house. Now she is now borrowing money, from the commercial bank at the interest just to sustain herself because she doesn't have no income. That is the problem because now they cannot get rate certificate. So what I did, Shafak, I got hold of all the lawyers that do conveying. I got hold of them. I sent a bulletin out. I gave them free hall where they will come and they will discuss it with the deputy treasury, who will give them a complete insight of where the delay is and why the delay is. And then I also brought in all the state agents. There must be, all in all, I had about just over 100 people there between the attorneys. The bulk of them were attorneys because they were fuming, Shafat. And the state agents, they were also fuming because they only get paid when the house is sold, when the house is registered, then only they get the commission. Before that, they don't get the commission. So some of them, like, you know what, they're saying, you know what, we can't be borrowing money, yet we got 8 or 10 sales, but now we got it sealed, signed, but we got a hiccup here because we can't get a rate certificate. So we brought them, and I checked that meeting. You won't believe it, Shafat, what good came out of it. We put that the lady on the spot, Figile. We said, Figile, we have a problem. He says, you know what, before she can open up, she said, I know you're going to... You're going to strip me naked. You're going to come at me. You'll want to hit me. You'll want to do everything. She knew what was, because she knows she's in council, and that is her department, and she knows where the problem was. They got about over under 1,000 applications waiting for rate clearance. So they have a massive problem. So anyway, we discussed this whole thing. You won't believe it. They took it Friday. They sent us an email. They said, give us all your urgent ones. Who is like dire straight at the moment? So everybody is saying they all want it. So we're taking it into, we're looking at it where there's single mom, where there's people are really in major problem. They need that thing to be done like yesterday. So in the next 10 days, we're going to start rolling out all the clearance certificates so these sales can go through in. So the state agent can say we state agency, the attorneys at least will start getting paid because they're not getting paid because of they can't charge fees because the property has not been registered. So this is where I look for niche market, see where the problem is and attack that problem. And that's what I'm doing in government at the moment. My next one is I'm bringing all the people. I'm coming to Spingo Beach. Shafat will help me. Shafat Ahmad Khan is going to help me to get civic hall. I can get it free because it's owned by government. Bring the whole of Spingo Beach, put them in the hall there. And say to them what we have in treasury, what you will be able to get absolutely free of charge. One is if you are an NGO, you got a rebate of 50% on your light and water. Then if we got grants that you're not earning after the 20 from COVID time and the looting and then the floods last year, you're not earning, you have got absolutely no money, we got grants for that. Why are we not using all these facilities are there? She must come and address y'all and let the community know, and then they must make the application. And if they got a problem with the application, come through to me. I got one full-time PA is helping poor people, helping them to fill the form. Get this thing sorted out, and they just have to register, and automatically, it'll take maybe a couple of months, you will get that free grant. At least you know you got breathing space from now onwards.
Brilliant day, Ahmad, and JazakAllah for that information. Yunus says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad Tariq. You really are a person that gives remedies, and you want to solve issues, not making tissues out of issues. Bless you for that. And by the way, Ahmad, young people are the most voters in this country, and if they come in their droves to the polls to vote for leaders and parties of their choice, politicians will feel the brunt of the youth. We as a Muslim community should capture the youth and empower them, and inshallah give them the kalima, la ilaha illallah. How do you respond to Yunus there, Ahmad?
Shabbat, Yunus, I commend him for asking this question. Number one, I've been singing for the last year now. After my first year in council, I went to a few masjids. They invited me. Hey, Councillor Parak, please come and give us, how's your first year in council? what is there, what is not there, why we got all the problems and all that. I went and addressed them. Now, everywhere now, they're still asking me, when are you coming? When we want to know firsthand from the member, tell us, then we know, because that's it. This is, a member is a place not only to I don't say you mustn't say the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but also give current affairs, what is happening in the country, so we know how to counterattack all these things. Yunus, I've been singing for the last 1 year. And in the masjid too, and I was speaking to the Mufti, I was speaking to some elders in the masjid as well. I said, give me 10, 15 youngsters who are prepared to follow my footsteps. I will bring the top rakis from government, from the universities. I got, alhamdulillah, with the help of Allah, I've got good contact in all sectors of employments and everything. I said, come. I'm prepared to teach you on a part-time basis. You tell me if you're leaving school next year, if you finish matric and you have made up your mind, you want to go into mainstream politics, get me 115. I will set up a full-time class, a political school. So 2026 coming, election is coming. We are groomed. We are ready to take on. We know we can say, we from the 15, we say, okay, fine. We can post to Kwadaguza, we can post 2-3 of our upcoming counselors. In Tegwini, we can get 5 or 8 good counselors. They have been through the school. They know what to look for, how to do things. I'm prepared to do that. Shafat is going 2 years now. Not one came to me. This is the problem. Our people, it's just like, no, don't worry about it. But when the problem, if there's a problem, first thing, they'll knock at the counselor's door. Hey, counselor, hey, you're the man. Do something for us. Now, this is the problem we are faced with.
Yeah, Mother, I know that scenario is a very sad one indeed. And Aziz says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad Parak and Chef. And please, I may remind you all that there are 40 million people who are unregistered to vote, who, if they vote as a bloc, can unseat any party in the country. 40 million is a big market, Ahmad. Who's tapping into that?
Shafat, we are tapping at the moment into the unregistered. Are we bringing all the unregistered? Because now we know where the unregistered voters are all over the country. We are tapping into the market and then we bring them to register. And like yesterday, the IC couldn't believe how many thousands of people went and registered. So there is an appetite. They're saying, you know what, we had enough of this government. We had enough of who was there. We're not interested. We want to go and make sure we get the right people into government. And that is it. That market is wide open for all the political parties. And that's where we are tapping into it. But then, you know what happens in government is people are like, you know what, they're saying, you know what, we can't get water. We can't get electricity. We got this problem. That are we not interested in? This is where the problem is.
Kasim says, Assalamu alaikum, Jazakallah khair, Blue Chef. You give us the newspaper without me buying it. Jazakallah. He says, Ahmad Parak, voters or the voter apathy is a statement people are making that they are not only unhappy with a particular political party, but showing distrust of the power of the voter to change anything in society. How do you respond to that, Ahmad?
Shafat, in politics, every day is a new day. The problem is people are out there. They can't trust any politician. The day you cannot trust them because in the morning they'll tell you one thing, in the afternoon they'll tell you another thing. ANC, they will tell you everything. I'll give you one scenario. Now, with this rate issues and all that, they were jumping with the Kaunda, the mayor of Durban. Mayor of Durban was crisscrossing to all the areas and saying, no, hold on. I'm coming to address you all regarding this rape issues and all. After the Itigwini municipality have won the case, he turned on them. See, this is it. They will promise them, you need to read in between the lines with them. You've got to be very sharp because they were very, very sweet. They will come and, like the sugar. They will come and give you sugar, and then you say, hey, there's sugar. Yeah, hey, I'm very happy now. Let's move. So when they get you in your trap, they can't. If you take the ANC in the Tigwini municipality, there is not one Indian, not one white, one colored. So why? And yet we fought for the ANC, the NIC, Yusuf Dadu. All of them fought. You know, all the pioneers that fought for the liberation of this country. But where they not one, and yet KZN has got the biggest Indian population in the country. How come there is not one Indian in the Itigwini municipality? The same question I asked the mayor, I asked the deputy mayor, I asked the chief whip, I asked the top rakis of KZN, ANC. I said, you know what, you're using us, the Indians, because you all haven't got. Show me. First, show me. I said, I'm in Tigwini municipality. I know 93 councillors are there. But show me there is not one. I can even take you photos and I'll show you there is not one. No white. Leave Indians out. Where's the whites? Where's the colors? We're all in the Tigwini municipality. So you'll only got jobs for pals. And 60% of them, Shafat, listen to this very, very carefully. 60% of them, they are councillors of a ward because they bought votes there. They are councillors of the ward, but yet they don't have a car. They travel by Uber when they come. They've got a problem in 97. They will have to go by a Uber, or else he'll have to make a plan with a taxi. How can you run your ward with a taxi and an Uber?
Ahmed, I'm thinking aloud. Who pays the majority of the rates? Is it more the Indians, the whites areas that perhaps the business areas, and these things that are owned by mostly whites and Indians? Are they the majority ratepayers for Itigwini, Ahmed?
Shafat, if you take my area where I live in Musgrave, 18 million a month we are paying in rates. Just under 300, just over 300 million a year in rates and for rates alone. Leave water and electricity. You take Toti, Athlone Park, Amslanga, Belito, the bulk of the ratepayers of the country is between the whites and the Indians community and the colored community in the better areas. That's where the bulk of the rates are coming from. So why are we not getting service? Then when you ask them why you're not getting service, you say you must, the mayor tells you very nicely. He says, you know, Mr. Farooq, you know, where you're living, you got everything. Look at our brothers and sisters in the other side of Amlazi. Look at them in Inanda. Look at them in Hammersdale. How they're living. We're funding more and building up into the rural area. I said, fine. I don't have a problem with that. If I'm giving you 100 rand, take 40 rand and put it where you want to put. But 60 rand you need to give us to us because we are the biggest ratepayers in this town. So why are you not answering my question? He said, no, you must understand, we want to bring you to par. I said, you're taking my money and you're putting it elsewhere. I don't have a problem. Put it there. But you have to give service delivery to your people that if you're earning from a certain community, you will go and invest in that community again. But in your scenario, it doesn't work this way. He said, no, unfortunately, we have to make the playing fields level. I said, I agree with you, but how can you make the playing fields level when 20 million is coming from one area of your rate, but you're not even prepared to put 2 million back? Doesn't make sense.
That's brilliant indeed. A lot of hikmah coming from Ahmed Farooq this morning. And Ismail says, Ahmed Farooq, it seems not even Mbeki's aid denialism has happened or hampered his support for him. What's puzzling is that Zuma scores very highly. It's really interesting to note, Ahmed, a favorability perception score has former President Thabo Mbeki as the most popular politician in South Africa. He's a living politician. He's the most popular, even more popular than Zuma and Cyril Ramaphosa. It seems that Mbeki did something right when he was in power. Ahmed, how do you respond there?
Shafat, that man there, Mbeki, was these guys, they made sure, because they couldn't get their way, the Zuma's clique and everyone else, they couldn't get their way. They made sure they pulled him out. They took whatever it took day and night, whatever it took, even if they have to move a mountain to make sure they take him out of the equation so that they can start looting. As soon as he went, what happened to the country? They went down. He was a statement. He learned under the Mandela, and he was a straight, upright man. Now, when they in government, they don't want somebody upright. You must be a yes boy. That's the problem.
Ahmed, you said it as it is, and alhamdulillah, great chat with you this morning. I really enjoyed the 1 hour, how it flies. Your parting words before I let you go.
Shafat, today is another day for voter registration. You know, I says all the questions that came up that we need to, especially our Muslim community, don't be fence, don't sit back and expect to things to happen when you haven't voted to put the right people in government. You know, people saying to, you know, Mr. Parak, we put you in the council. As one question I asked that person, did you vote in my 2021 election? He says, no. But, you know, I told my family and everything. I said, no, I'm asking you the question. Did you vote? He says, no, I haven't voted. I said, you're the first one is complaining I don't have A, B, C, and D. Now, if you only voted, it should have made a difference, and we had more people of our people in council. We could be fighting for the Muslim community and fighting for the community as well. So we need good caliber of people in government. So my suggestion is, today is another day. We, whoever have not registered, go to your polling station there, register, and if you feel that you haven't checked whether you're on the voters' roll, go there. They will take 2 minutes of your time. They will check it up and they'll tell you, yes, you registered. You at that survey call, your name appears there. If you want to change to another area, you can even go online and you can register. You don't even have to go to the polling station. But the mere fact is, by you registering, you will have a say.
Jazakallah khairah for that, Ahmed. You have a mashallah beautiful day ahead. Inshallah, we'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum
salam wa rahmatullah. Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.